The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
Chauncey's Great Outdoors is brought to you by Waterworks, the number one Lund and Lowe dealer in the Midwest, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills, 708-798-9700. Midwest Outdoors, the magazine for the true Midwest sportsman, MidwestOutdoors.com. Paul's Pizza and Hot Dogs in Westchester at 31st and Wolf Road. GP Italiano, a true family Italian restaurant, or a restaurant just for you and that special person at 11 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois. Go to info@gpitaliano.com. DiamondGhostCharters.com for the true salmon experience on Lake Michigan. And by Daiwa, fishing reels, rods, and baits made of the highest quality and priced for everyone.
Follow me. Streams, find a world that embraces free open spaces. Come and follow me.
Hello, everyone. This is Chauncey from Chauncey's Great Outdoors. Come on out and follow me into the great outdoors, whether it's close to home or across this great country. Come on out and follow me. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Chauncey's Great Outdoors. And yes, siree, Bob, guess what? It's deer season in Illinois this weekend. And it's going on up in Wisconsin. And it's, well, it's middle of it. It's in Michigan. Indiana's also got it going on. I mean, it's so much fun. I know people are going, deer season? Oh, yeah. But, you know, the firearm deer season's been kind of getting a little dropping off in numbers, and more people are archery hunting because you get longer time in the woods, because that's what really it is. But the thing about it is, I want to tell everybody, is it's just being outside. That's right. Exactly. Hey, remember to tell all your buddies and, you know, boys and girls, because everybody listens to Chauncey's Great Outdoors on either the ESPN Chicago app or go to my website, Chauncey's Great Outdoors, click on the word podcast, and guess what? The show pops up. And a whole bunch of our other shows pop up, too, which is really kind of a cool thing. And you can subscribe and get it downloaded if you can't get out of bed. And speaking of getting out of bed, someone once told me that over half my audience is laying in bed listening to my show. I don't know if that's true or not. But it's as easy as 1, 2, 3 to get us and listen to the show. And don't forget to go to Facebook/ Chauncey's Great Outdoors. And like us, because you'll get a whole lot of constant outdoor bombardment of information. So sit back, lay back, pour yourself coffee. If you're having lunch because you're an overnight worker, enjoy that. I'm having coffee with Matt here, my board op today. So let's get into this and have some fun. On this week's show, this is really kind of a cool thing, because I almost fell off my chair when I read a press release from my friend Chris Anker, who's the wildlife biologist for the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. They tagged an osprey. Yes, we have ospreys and bald eagles in Cook County, folks. I know, you don't believe it, but we do. We have a good number of them. And they tagged an osprey, and that osprey was found, now it took a year, okay, a little over a year for it to go, in Colombia, South America. Wow. And so I'm going to get him on to talk about this, because he is a plethora of information. He is a bucket and a half of stuff to talk about in the great outdoors. So I'm really excited about to learn what happened there. And then Jeff Pretzel, the deer program manager for the state of Wisconsin, he's got a busy day today. and he'll be out there for deer hunting, but he's going to call in and we're going to talk to him about the whole deer program going on in Michigan right now and what's happening, you know, the good to bad. And there is no ugly for deer, because it's always good to be out. And then we'll have my Aiden fishing report. Can't go wrong with that. That's my grandson, Aiden. We'll talk to him a little bit, see what's going on. And that'll be kind of cool. But, you know, there's some staggering numbers. I mean, and once again, deer hunting, I know if people have never deer hunted, it is almost like Thanksgiving for 15 days or a weekend, depending on what state you're hunting in, because families get together. They do so much. I mean, the state of Wisconsin, as of about five days ago, I had to count on my fingers, year to date for their sales for licenses. Now, this is for gun, bow, and crossbow. They're at like 560,000 in pocket change. Of that, 205,000 are deer licenses. Michigan, this is where I learned how to deer hunt. I will never forget my first deer season. It was absolutely so much fun to be with a family that was excited about the outdoors. Well, they're going to be running about 590,000 people in the woods. Their numbers are growing, which is really, really good. Illinois, we're going to have about 170,000 deer shotgun hunters out in the woods. And Indiana, they don't like to tell us. I know. I love the people of Indiana, but their DNR is a little bit tight-lipped on a lot of things. But so it's really kind of a cool thing that we're going to see, you know, what's going on out there. And people are going to be enjoying it and having fun and stuff like that. So you can't go wrong. You know, I was mentioning the Illinois deer season's this weekend, and then it'll come back in December. Michigan, it's from the 15th to the 30th of the November. We're seeing, you know, there's a lot of different programs going on out there. But you know what deer season means? And you're going, what, Chauncey? Deer season means if you're a fishing nut, if you're a musky fishing nut, a walleye fishing nut, any kind of a fish, crappie fishing nut, the lakes in Wisconsin and a lot of even the lakes in Illinois and especially in Michigan, you could be the only person on the lake fishing. That's right. It's like being up in Canada fishing. And I know people that plan their fishing trips to go musky fishing with, you know, suckers and glide baits and different things like that up in northern Wisconsin because everybody's chasing deer up there and they have the lake to themselves. He said that it's like a free trip to Canada. So if you're a fisherman, here's the other thing. You know, everybody talks about getting up really early in the morning to go out fishing. This time of the year, you don't have to do that. You know why? You could go out at 10 o'clock. That means you could get up, have coffee, talk to the person on the other side of the table, have a second cup of coffee, maybe take a little nap, go back. And then, okay, let's go fishing. So, you know, you start at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. That's prime time to be out fishing. You don't have to do the crack of dawn. And we'll keep you posted, speaking of the crack of dawn, of the perch that are small, some numbers, nothing to get excited about yet. I'm hoping Thanksgiving I'm going to be out at Navy Pier wetting a line, trying to catch a few of those guys out there. Ooh, they are so tasty with turkey. They're tasty any time of the year. Really. Okay, so we covered that. Okay. Hey, you know, my good friends at Midwest Outdoors Magazine and TV, they've been helping Chicagoland enjoy the great outdoors for more than 50 years. To show their appreciation for your support, they are offering a 2020 Black Friday deal. You won't want to miss it. For only $20, you'll receive 20 issues of Midwest Outdoors Magazine and get a $20 gift card to TackleDirect.com. Wait a minute. Cost me $20 and I get $20? So it's free. Okay. That's 20 issues of Midwest Outdoors delivered to your door. You also get access to their digital edition, which is what I use, which has both bonus articles, including marked maps, my monthly fishing report, and you also receive that $20 gift card to Tackle Direct. How can you go wrong? That's one of the largest online tackle company shops. And you know what? It's all for $20.
It may be cold outside, but spring is just around the corner, and Waterworks Marine is taking deposits for the 2025 London Low Boats powered by a Mercury outboard at that low Waterworks price. That's right. Waterworks is your one stop for any and all service and winterizing this season with five fully certified mechanics in Mercury outboards and other brands of boats. But if you have a boat and need service, parts, supplies, or just want to repower that boat with a new Mercury outboard at some special deals, only make one stop at Waterworks. If storage is a problem, don't worry. Call Waterworks Marine at 708-798-9700 and get their winter secure storage rate just for you at a price you won't believe. Give them a call at 708-798-9700 or go to waterworks.com or stop in there at 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills and tell them Chauncey sent you.
At the Boy Scouts of America, our oath remains. A scout pledges to be kind, helpful, and brave. We're committed to providing a safe and welcoming environment where scouts can establish the foundations of character that will last a lifetime. Our approach ensures the Boy Scouts of America is building the youth of today into the leaders we'll turn to tomorrow. The Boy Scouts of America. Building character is in our nature. Visit scouting.org to learn more about scouting.
For more information about joining a scouting unit in Northeastern Illinois, call 847-433-1813. That's 847-433-1813. Diamond Ghost Charters on Lake Michigan, the two words every fisherman loves to yell is, "Fish on!" And Captain Tony of Diamond Ghost Charters will put you on the fish when you're looking to go. A salmon fishing trip with Diamond Ghost Charters is a perfect way to spend a half a day or a full day out fishing with friends, family, or co-workers all on Lake Michigan. So let Diamond Ghost Charters out of Winthrop Harbor hook you up with a chunky summer coho, a trophy fall king, or a lunker lake trout. They're all waiting for you with Diamond Ghost Charters. Don't wait. Call Captain Tony at 847-838-2037. That's 847-838-2037. And get ready to yell, "Fish on!" This segment is brought to you by Diamond Ghost Charters. Give them a call at 847-838-2037 and get ready to yell, "Fish on!"
You can't catch fish. You can't catch fish.
Hi, this is Skeet Reese, and you're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors.
You can't catch fish.
No, 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 no. No,
I got a little story about a city boy. They came from Wisconsin, up from Illinois, so we can enter the big fish contest. It's $1,000 cash for the biggest and the best, but I told them.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Chauncey's Great Outdoors. And on the phone with me right now, because we, you know, we do fishing, hunting, camping, napping in a hammock, but we also do the science of the outdoors. And I have with me someone who, in my personal mind and heart, is one of the greatest science people, biologists, sportsmen I've ever met, and his name is Chris Anker. He's the head wildlife person for the Cook County Forest Preserve. Now, that's really laying a good line on you, Chris, isn't it?
Far too good.
But, Chris, you know, people don't realize that the Forest Preserve isn't just that field out there with the pavilion or a pond to go fish or a lake to go fish. There are a lot of things going on in the background, scientific-wise, with plants, with animals, with, you know, all kinds of things. And you can become part of it by going to Camp Sagawaugh, there where they're doing the banding of the little birds and stuff. But you guys got a piece of information that stopped me about osprey. First of all, people don't realize we have osprey, right?
A lot of people don't. It's one of those birds that suffered from the effects of DDT along with peregrine falcons and bald eagles.
Mm-hmm. So there is a population of osprey living in Northeast Illinois, especially the Forest Preserve. And as a matter of fact, I think one of the easiest nests to see is at the Little Red Schoolhouse.
Right off the back patio there.
Yeah.
Out in Long John Slough, there's a nest platform.
Yeah. Which is a cool thing. But so, I don't know, you have to somehow, in the spring after they're hatched, in your research program, you band these birds to follow them, right?
Correct. So there's a two-week period around the 4th of July where the birds are big enough to support a band, but they're not so big that they're going to flee and fly off of the platform, the nest platform that they're being raised on.
Mm-hmm.
And we try and band those birds at that time, and in the hopes that someone will, in the future, will find that bird and let us know where it has gone.
Yeah, and a quick question. When you're trying to band them, because I've been involved with some geese banding and some hawk banding, somebody wanted me to help out when I lived in Michigan on an eagle banding program, but I said, I'm not going that high up in a nest. I'm not doing it. But, I mean, does the mother osprey, does she get a little upset that you're, you know, messing in their room there, or what?
Both of the parents will be very vocal about their displeasure with what's going on, but they do not make contact with the bander.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. But, so, you band the bird, you have a tag on it, you just like banding a geese or another, you know, songbird or whatever that's being banded, and when these birds go wherever they are in the country, whether they're caught in a net or harvested like a goose would be, you find out where these bands were put on, right?
Correct. You find out where they've been encountered. So in this case, a bird that was banded down in Lamont near the Sag Quarries, near 83 and 107th, that bird showed up almost exactly a year later to the day in Colombia, South America.
We're not talking Colombia, Missouri, folks. We're talking
right.
Colombia, South America.
I first got the return from the bird banding lab, I thought they meant Colombia, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, no, they were talking about Colombia, the country.
Chris, I'm sitting here going, what? Because think about that. I mean, that bird went from here, the suburbs of Chicago, and flew all the way to South America. First of all, I didn't know they would move that far.
Generally, they don't go that far. Generally, they fly down to the Gulf Coast from Florida to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They'll spend 2 years becoming reproductively mature. And then they'll come back, at least the females will come back to their natal area and try and set up a new nest once they become reproductively active. But in this case, this bird flew completely across the Gulf of Mexico and ended up dehydrated and disoriented on a street corner somewhere in central Colombia. And luckily, a university professor found it and gave it water and held it for a short period of time so it could reorient itself, and he was able to release it. So potentially that bird will return back to Cook County and set up a nest.
What's it like? I mean, I'm blowing my brain here just going, oh, my God. What's it like, Chris, when somebody sends you a text, email, letter saying, hey, we found this bird number that said you touched it a year ago a gazillion miles away?
It's absolutely extraordinary. We were very pleasantly surprised at that return.
Chris, I could just see you read the letter, you go, hey, this is really exciting. I would be screaming. I would be so excited. That is such a cool thing that they did this. And it's, I think the important thing about this is it's what we do. Whether, you know, you could say it on a state level, a country level, but what's being done in the Forest Preserve District of Cook County for many years behind the scenes that people don't always see or understand really affects many places around the world.
It shows that we're all attached in one form or another. So there's a concept called One Health, which is a triad of the environment, human health, and wildlife health, and we embrace that concept of One Health in our foundational mission here in the Forest Preserve District of Cook County to not only assess the health for the wildlife, the flora and fauna,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately the health of our environment for all of us that we must share and live in.
Yeah, because, you know, if what we're the land we live on and what we're eating, which comes from the land, one way or another, folks, it's going to either come out of the lake, it's going to come out of the ground, it's going to come out of the cow that ate something in the ground. You know, by keeping everything healthy makes us healthy in the long run. And, you know, but to have an effect where a bird went all the way to Columbia, South America, and was just, can you imagine the people that saw it fly by? I'm so glad that it didn't land someplace where somebody said, oh, look at this. This is our Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, we have had that happen. So if folks go to the FPDCC website, they'll get a homepage, hit nature. You'll get a Dropbox, hit research, and they'll have an interactive map that shows some of our more significant band returns. And one of them was a rough-legged hawk, which is a bird that breeds up in the Arctic. We banded it, and several years later, it was legally harvested by one of the first peoples up there and consumed, but they returned the band. So this was a bird that became kind of the same kind of story. It was disoriented. It was found. And we were able to put a band on it, release it, and 3-4 years later, it we found out where its home was, which is extreme northeast Canada.
Wow. it's another one where it's like, people just don't realize what we're seeing flying by, or, you know, a small songbird that's, you know, eating seeds from your bird feeder in the backyard, or a hummingbird that is taking a drink. And now it's going to be somewhere, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away. It's just, you know, that means what we do touches everything.
Absolutely.
It really does.
Absolutely.
God, Chris, this is exciting. Everyone, once again, we're talking with Chris Hanker. He's the, what is your official official
wildlife
title?
Biologist, Wildlife Forest Preserve District of Cook County.
Yeah, the man is just such a pleasure to speak with. I learn more from him than I can ever tell you every time I speak to him. And just the excitement of having something like this, and people will just never know that where did this all begin? Right in our own backyard, the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. That's cool. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the program this morning.
Thank you for your interest.
Oh, man, if there's anything that you guys are doing that I got, call me up. I'm there because I love all of this, you know, because that's the science of the outdoors. And the more you learn about the science of the outdoors, and it's not that difficult to learn, the more you learn to appreciate what we have in our own backyard. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors. You know us. Hey, we know the outdoors. Chauncey here. That's the sound you'll hear at the Illinois Conservation Foundation's Director's Hunt on December 2nd and 3rd at the Jim Edgar Panther Creek State Fish and Wildlife Area, just a little west of Springfield, Illinois. Please bring your own non-toxic shot. This 2-day all-inclusive pheasant and chucker hunt is great for all ages and skill levels, with no limits on your harvest and plenty of birds released. That's 2 hunts, Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning, a guide and dog, if requested, lunch on the site, a hotel room Monday night in a great downtown Springfield hotel, a banquet dinner with silent auction and more, coffee, donuts Tuesday morning, and you pick up your clean birds, and you can either go back in the field or drive home. Go online and sign up at ilconservation.org and come out and support the Illinois Conservation Foundation and get more kids outdoors and have fun with 1 or 2 days of upland bird hunting. I'm going, so should you. It may be cold outside, but spring is just around the corner, and Waterworks Marine is taking deposits for the 2025 London Low boats powered by a Mercury outboard at that low Waterworks price. That's right. Waterworks is your one stop for any and all service and winterizing this season, with 5 fully certified mechanics in Mercury outboards and other brands of boats. But if you have a boat and need service, parts, supplies, or just want to repower that boat with a new Mercury outboard at some special deals, only make one stop at Waterworks. If storage is a problem, don't worry. Call Waterworks Marine at 708-798-9700 and get their winter secure storage rate just for you at a price you won't believe. Give them a call at 708-798-9700 or go to waterworks.com or stop in there at 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills and tell them Chauncey sent you. Daiwa's new TDI walleye rods that includes spinning, casting, and trolling rods is at your favorite tackle shop waiting just for you. Just hold one of these extremely sensitive rods, and when you match it with a Tatula reel, oh, so stop in at Triangle Sports in Antioch, Anglers International Resources in Palatine, Dave's Bait and Tackle in Crystal Lake, Illinois, Fishing Connection in Tinley Park, and Angler's Outlet also in Tinley Park, and hold a new TDI rod and feel the future of fishing today. When you're fishing for salmon on Lake Michigan with Diamond Ghost Charters, the two words every fisherman loves to yell is, "Fish on!" And Captain Tony of Diamond Ghost Charters will put you on the fish when you're ready to go. A salmon fishing trip with Diamond Ghost Charters is a perfect way to spend a half a day or a full day for two, four, or six people. Diamond Ghost has a charter package for any size group of friends, family, and co-workers just for you. So let Diamond Ghost Charters hook you up with a spring coho, a chunky summer salmon, or a trophy king. Call Captain Tony at 847-366-0741. That's 847-366-0741. And get ready to yell, "Fish on!" You're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors Radio Network. For more information, contact us at chaunceymedia@aol.com. This segment is being brought to you by Waterworks Marine, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills, where every boat sold is a fun certified boat.
Deer Hunter!
This is Phil Piscitolo, owner-operator of Borderline Fishing Guide Service. We take people out fishing in northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, and you're listening to Chauncey's Great Outdoor Radio Show.
Stay in the shack. A week without the wife won't want to come back. Gotta wake up early on opening day. But first I better finish off a case I say. Spend the night playing cards and drinking blast beer. Shoot, there it is. Let's get some beer.
Shoot, there it is. Shoot.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Chauncey's Great Outdoors on this beautiful, I don't care if it's snowing, raining, wind blowing, it's a beautiful weekend in a number of Midwest states because it's deer season, yeah. And on the phone with me right now, we got Jeff Pretzel, who's the head program manager for the deer herd of the state of Wisconsin. He knows where they're all tied up to the trees, okay? Is that right, Jeff?
That's what they like to think, anyhow. Or it's just the opposite, and they think I know where they all are, and they're not really there. we'll have hunters that have the best deer hunting season of their life, and hunters that'll have their worst deer hunting season of their life, and that's just part of the territory.
It's not called catching; it's called hunting.
Right.
You know. Right. Hey, listen, Jeff. Wisconsin's got a very healthy deer population and deer herd. Yes, just like all the other states, there are pockets of CWD and maybe blue tongue and some other things like that. And the department is working very hard to manage and try to correct problems, et cetera. But overall, the state is doing quite well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, always depends on the scale you want to look at. You know, nationally, you know, we're always in the top five states of number of hunters and the harvest of deer, because we have such a high volume of hunters, you know, our harvest deer per hunter, you know, isn't as high as some other states. But the fact that we've got well over a half a million people that'll be out deer hunting this weekend, and we'll harvest, when all the dust settles, something north of 300,000 deer in the state. So, but those opportunities do vary a lot, and two different stories, whether you're hunting the northern big woods versus the agricultural part of the state, and public land versus private land, and so there's a lot of variation in the experience, but that's part of what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just said, it varies. You know, deer are a very, I always said, yes, you'll see deer in the big hardwood forests, but that's not where the most food. They really like the woods and the farmland areas. That's where they really just explode, I think.
Yeah. I mean, deer can live in almost any landscape. They're very adaptable, but they flourish in areas of higher disturbance and more edge on the landscape and different variations of habitat types. So where you have big blocks of contiguous, you know, forest, yeah, it's got deer in there, but they're spread out pretty thin, and it's more of a challenge, you know, mm-hmm. to see deer. But some people embrace that challenge. Others, you know, have had really good experiences during periods of time when deer numbers are high. But deer are, as a prey species, they're inherently unstable. Their populations are going to go up and down. And whether or not they choose to move around during daylight hours can be influenced on a lot of things. And so a lot of times people, deer sightings won't be that great, but it's not necessarily for a lack of deer. It's just that deer weren't motivated to be moving during daylight hours. And so mm-hmm. that's one of the things here in Wisconsin this weekend. This is the latest possible opening weekend we can have on the calendar. Ours is always the weekend before Thanksgiving. And so it kind of shifts with Thanksgiving. And so as late as it is this year, that means we're getting further away from the peak of the rut. We're getting further away from maximum daylight deer movement. Mm-hmm. So it might be a little more challenging this year to see deer during daylight hours. Especially if we hunt, more deer hunters now take a more sedentary approach. We hunt like we do archery hunting. It's like, pick a good spot and let the deer come to you. Our gun season culture used to be a lot more get out, get the deer moving by moving around as hunters. Mm-hmm. And we don't do it that way as much. And so sometimes, you know, the hunters are more dependent on natural deer movement. And if the deer don't feel like moving, it's going to influence, you know, deer sightings in the harvest.
Yeah. I used to have this one older gentleman that I used to hunt with, and I unfortunately, he's now hunting in a bigger place than I am now. But he used to say, you know, don't leave. Pack your lunch in, he says, because when everybody else is walking out of the fields, he says, they're going to make the deer move around, and you can get your best shot when they're leaving. Well, that's true,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, because they're a flight animal. If there's something they see moving, they're going to run the opposite direction.
Right, yeah. And I often talk to hunters that say, boy, I used to see more deer than I see now, especially on opening weekend of the gun season. So that relate to them, that relates to, well, there must not be as many deer as there mm-hmm. used to be. But it can be actually quite different. It's the hunting strategies that have changed that are influencing, you know, deer movement. And so, yeah, you might have, in the old days, you might have saw 30 deer on opening weekend. That might have been 10 deer you saw three times. They got bounced back and forth. But you saw more deer moving around. And these days, a lot of hunters will say, I used to see 20, 30 deer, and now I'm lucky if I see five or six. Mm-hmm. Well, it relates to the fact that we just don't intentionally or unintentionally, you know, move those deer around with our own movements like we used to.
You know, going back 10, 20, you know, 20, 25 years ago, even and longer, you know, if you sat out there, very few people, unless you had a built blind that was suspended in the air, nobody had a built ground blind. And now we have ground blinds that have great camo on them. They have little heaters in them.
Some of them have TV antennas on.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet, but I bet you I wouldn't say no to that at all, you know. But they got their cell phones. They can watch TV on their cell phones.
Right.
But, I mean, you're right. You know, we are a more, let's let them come to us instead of me going to go find them, which it is challenging because, you know, between their hearing, their eyes aren't great. They see movement, but they're not great. But between their hearing and their schnoz, especially their nose, that's what gives you away every time. And I think deer hunters are using more attractant scents, whether it's doe and heat or something, but they're using more scents now to pull in a buck.
Yeah, there's lots of gadgets for the enthusiast and trying to up the odds, you know, mm-hmm. certainly as part of the strategies. But then when you think about, you have as many hunters as we have, and they're all trying to employ those strategies, to a certain degree, they start competing with each other for the deer's attention. And then, you know, the deer can only be in one place at one time. And so, you know, two neighboring property owners that are doing a lot of, you know, trying to enhance their property and do things to really get the deer's attention, the end result can be, you know, and not so much even with the scent attractants, but that's one of the aspects with trying to provide food attractant, mm-hmm. you know, with food plots and that type of thing. And the cumulative effect sometimes can be that the deer have it so good, they don't have to move around that much to get their groceries collected. And so that actually can suppress deer sightings because we made it too good for the deer.
Yeah. Now, you know, whatever state you hunt in across the country, and you know, on opening day of you know, like a firearm deer season and stuff, I mean, all you see are orange in the restaurants. You see Hunter Orange in the bars. You see Hunter Orange. I mean, it's literally, it brings billions of, and I'm not saying that happens. It brings billions of dollars into the economy of so many small towns and stuff that to help them get through the winter. But the thing is, we were talking about how more people are looking at archery hunting and, you know, getting their deer through that than waiting for a 9-day firearm season.
Yeah, there's been a discussion over the last decade or so. People say, yeah, some of the shine seems to have worn off of the gun season, or it just isn't the big event that it used to be. And there's some truth to that. It still is a huge event. Again, you know, in Wisconsin, we've got well over half a million people out this weekend, and it just feels really kind of cool that there's just this huge group that's mm-hmm. all in it together. But over half of our deer hunters in Wisconsin now are also archers. You know, they enjoy deer hunting enough that they've decided to pick it up and do it earlier in the year. So half of our deer hunters have already been hunting, in some cases for months. And so the emphasis on getting your deer during the gun season has kind of shifted a little bit. And so, you know, we still get about, in Wisconsin in general, about 2/3 of our hunting effort happens through archery hunting, and they get about 1/3 of the deer. And, a third of the hunting effort all happens in a short amount of time during the gun season, but it generates 2/3 of our deer harvest.
Wow, I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah, I mean, we will, in Wisconsin, if things are relatively close to normal, I mean, we will harvest somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000 deer on opening weekend. And so it still is the big event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100,000 deer. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a massive amount. But, you know, the other thing is, and I was talking to some of my, I'm not allowed to use the word mature when I put my name in the sentence, according to one of my daughters. They said,
okay.
Dad, you cannot use the term mature and your name in the same sentence. It just doesn't work, right? Okay, sorry. But she says, you can say seasoned. So, us seasoned hunters, you know, some of our buddies are dropping off the list. And, you know, that we went out with for years. And, you know, maybe my circle's not as big. And I think the seasoned hunters, okay, guys, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
they can, you know, you need to go to and meet some younger guys, and you know, don't be afraid to have a conversation with them. And next thing you know, they're going to be inviting you to go with them on a deer hunt or whatever, pheasant hunt, whatever it is. You know, you need to get, you know, it's like a baseball team. You know, you got to get that farm club, get the younger guys involved with you guys. Besides, it's good to have a young guy to do all the heavy lifting, you know. And
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hear that so often from, like I said, the senior hunters, and I'm right on the cusp of that myself, mm-hmm. that they reflect back and, you know, 20 years ago, their deer camp, you know, had, you know, 15, 20 people in it. And today it's got 8 in it, or maybe it used to have 10 or 12 and now it's down to 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel the heartache and the heartbreak that comes along with that because of that sense of loss of that tradition and whatnot. And you can either kind of just sit in it and feel like, well, you know, feel bad and that's coming to an end, or like you're suggesting, be proactive. And, you know, the gun season is still more of a social event than the solitary, you know, archery hunting, and people want to share experiences and be together. And so it, you know, do a little outreach and you might be welcomed into a new camp with some fresh energy. And yeah, like you said, the benefit of somebody that'd be more than happy to help drag your deer out.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing too is as you said, you know, you're a more senior hunter. When you hang around the younger guys, guess what? For some odd reason, you get a little bit more spark in your step, and you know, there's a little bit more fun, and you just get excited. And they're going to be leaning on you to teach them about deer hunting over the years, not just you learning from them. They're going to learn from you a lot. And that's why you become a special person in their club, you know?
Yeah. And I talk a lot of older hunters, and we know that we can see it in the statistics, but once hunters reach the age of about 65 or so, their actual harvest level starts to really fade. And it's not necessarily that they're losing their skill set. It's that they've kind of changed their attitude towards, it becomes, you know, I've shot enough deer in my day. I'm not really here to get a deer. I'm here to share the experience with the younger hunters and see them mm-hmm. have the enjoyment that I had. And I don't really care if I get a deer anymore, but I still want to be part of the game and I want to be part of the action. And then, yeah, part of that transition of knowledge and sharing of knowledge. And that's why they're still here. And so, yeah, find those opportunities to do that. And you can stretch your deer hunting enjoyment out, mm-hmm. you know, as long as you want.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, one of the things is if somebody harvests a deer in Wisconsin, they do have to call in and register, correct?
Yeah, Wisconsin has, for decades and decades, had mandatory registration of all deer. And you had to do it in person up until about 10 years ago. And with the advances in technology and options and conveniences, that shifted to an electronic form, but it is still mandatory. So anyone who, you know, is fortunate to harvest a deer, you know, the rule is that by 5 p.m. the day after harvest, that day after recovery, because sometimes you don't get the deer until the next day,
mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to make that report. And the easiest way to do it is online on a computer or on your cell phone, but we do have a phone number that people can call in as another option. And there are a few businesses, some outlets that used to be the in-person registration places, and they still offer the, hey, come to our location, you can use our equipment, use our computer, use our phone, and mm-hmm. get your deer registered. Because some people don't have cell phones or don't have cell phone service,
mm-hmm.
and so they still have that other option to get it done that way.
And all I can say, everybody, is if you ever want to hear the greatest hunting stories on the face of the earth, go to one of these check stations if there is one. And you will hear the best stories you will ever. You could write books on what happens at a deer check-in station.
Yeah. You know, and some of those stations, I know last year, tried to revive that aspect of it. And I do hear from hunters a lot that miss that part of it because it is mm-hmm. not nearly as frequent as it used to be. And yeah. I do point out that storytelling and sharing is still happening, but mm-hmm. it's happening online now as people yeah. are doing it through their Facebook pages and other mm-hmm. social media things. And so the volume of that sharing of stories is probably even greater than it used to be,
yeah.
but it's not in person like yeah. it used to be. And it's not between strangers like it used to be. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I miss that part of it too, but it's one of those, you know, modern technology things, and you can't, you know, you can't turn the clock back on some of that.
Well, so. Jeff, I want to say thank you to you and the people that you work with to constantly monitor, protect, enhance the beautiful deer herd in the state of Wisconsin for us to enjoy, whether we're enjoying it as a consumptive sport or we're just enjoying watching them walk across a field. You know, you're making dreams come true in billions of people, okay?
Yeah, very well said. Thanks, Chauncey. I really appreciate that. And good luck to everybody out there this weekend.
Cool. That was Jeff Pretzel, everybody, the head man for the Deer Management Program for the state of Wisconsin. You're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors. You know us. Hey, we know the outdoors. It may be cold outside, but spring is just around the corner, and Waterworks Marine is taking deposits for the 2025 London Low Boats powered by a Mercury outboard at that low Waterworks price. That's right. Waterworks is your one stop for any and all service and winterizing this season with 5 fully certified mechanics in Mercury outboards and other brands of boats. But if you have a boat and need service, parts, supplies, or just want to repower that boat with a new Mercury outboard at some special deals, only make one stop at Waterworks. If storage is a problem, don't worry. Call Waterworks Marine at 708-798-9700 and get their winter secure storage rate just for you at a price you won't believe. Give them a call at 708-798-9700 or go to waterworks.com or stop in there at 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills and tell them Chauncey sent you. Chauncey here. That's the sound you'll hear at the Illinois Conservation Foundation's Director's Hunt on December 2nd and 3rd at the Jim Edgar Panther Creek State Fish and Wildlife Area, just a little west of Springfield, Illinois. Please bring your own non-toxic shot. This two-day all-inclusive pheasant and chucker hunt is great for all ages and skill levels with no limits on your harvest and plenty of birds released. That's two hunts, Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning, a guide and dog, if requested, lunch on the site, a hotel room Monday night in a great downtown Springfield hotel, a banquet dinner with silent auction and more, coffee, donuts, Tuesday morning, and you pick up your clean birds, and you can either go back in the field or drive home. Go online and sign up at ilconservation.org and come out and support the Illinois Conservation Foundation and get more kids outdoors and have fun with one or two days of upland bird hunting. I'm going, so should you.
Hello there. My name is Eden, and I'm a Cub Scout. I'm here to talk to you today about becoming a Cub Scout like me. Cub Scouts get badges for doing fun activities, and we make friends. Scouts go camping, climbing, fishing, and swimming together. We have fun. We play sports and go to parades. Scouts also help people and become the best versions of themselves. Visit beascout.org and you'll be able to find a pack near you, get your questions answered, and sign up online.
For more information on joining Cub Scouts or Scouts USA, dial 847-433-1813. That's 847-433-1813. Daiwa's new TDI walleye rods that includes spinning, casting, and trolling rods is at your favorite tackle shop waiting just for you. Just hold one of these extremely sensitive rods, and when you match it with a Tatula reel, oh, you have a fish-catching machine. So stop in at Triangle Sports in Antioch, Anglers International Resources in Palatine, Dave's Bait and Tackle in Crystal Lake, Illinois, Fish Tech in Morton Grove, Lee's Bait and Tackle in Elk Grove Village, Fishing Connection in Tinley Park, and Angler's Outlet also in Tinley Park, Presley's Outdoors in Bartonville, Illinois, Mike's Tackle World in Decatur, Hunting Stuff in Salem, Illinois, and Dunn's Sporting Goods also in Marion, Illinois, and hold a new TDI rods and feel the future of fishing today. Chauncey's Great Outdoors is brought to you by Waterworks, the number one Lund and Lowe dealer in the Midwest, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills, 708-798-9700. Midwest Outdoors, the magazine for the true Midwest sportsman, MidwestOutdoors.com. Paul's Pizza and Hot Dogs in Westchester at 31st and Wolf Road. GP Italiano, a true family Italian restaurant or a restaurant just for you and that special person at 11 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
You gone fishing.
How do you know?
There's a sign upon your door. Gone fishing.
You're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors on ESPN AM 1000 in Chicago.
Well, you left a row half done. You claim hoeing ain't no fun.
I can prove it, though.
You ain't got no ambition.
Gone fishing. Oh, I love that song. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Chauncey's Great Outdoors. I hope you're kicked up, ready to go, have some fun today. And, you know, we've had deer hunting. We talked about the osprey. I mentioned we're going to talk a little fishing here in a second here. But, you know, when I hear the crows just now on my headphones, I was like, man, I would love to be in a deer blind, deer stand, or just sitting by the base of a tree, listening to the woods awaken. I mean, this is what gets our blood going as sportsmen and women. I mean, it is so cool out there to do that. And by the way, excuse me, somebody sent me a little text message and said, what's your phone number? Okay, it's 1-312-332-3776. That's if you want to try to get on the show in the next 10 minutes. And if you're in a tree stand or whatever, you know, give us a call, whatever. We'll enjoy always talking. But we have to get into some fishing reports. And this is from my grandson, Aiden, the West Michigan Fishing Report. God, is he growing up? He's not a kid anymore. He's a boy. He's a man. When I look him in the eye. But he says, Papa, This is brought to you once again by Waterworks Marine, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills. Papa, I stopped at the pier on the channel with Dad in Whitehall, and the guy said that they were popping a few steelhead. But we had to get our deer blind fixed up, so we went on to the deer blind right after that. If we get a deer this weekend, I'll give you a call and send you photos. Uncle Tom said he was going to make biscuits and gravy so you could wish you were here eating it with us. Thanks, guys. I love you both. And it's our quick fishing report, because it's deer season in Michigan, from Waterworks Marine, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills. Hey, you heard in the commercial about the director's hunt? Really? I mean, this is, if you love pheasant hunting, there's nothing that you will find wrong. This is the greatest time for pheasant hunters to go out. You know, they put you up in a Hilton in downtown Springfield. We're hunting 20 minutes away. You have a great dinner, great food. If you don't have a dog, they could set you up with a guide dog when you register. But do all that at IllinoisILConservation.org. And that's the Illinois Conservation Foundation. I mean, this is so much fun. As a matter of fact, we have someone coming down from Wisconsin, I heard, who listened to the program. Thank you. They haven't given me your name, but he's coming down with his dogs to let people enjoy a little bit of pheasant hunting. Thank you. We should get him on the air. Okay. We mentioned the Friday after Thanksgiving, all the state parks and state outdoor areas in Indiana are free. Don't pass that up. If you're a deer hunter and you harvest a deer and you don't want to butcher it or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a number of people I know that do this. They harvest the deer, but they donate it. And it feeds so many people. They take that deer to a processor. It's all ground up in a little one-pound ground patty, you know, packages, and it's given to the food pantries, mostly outside in the rural areas, because people will go, "Ooh, deer? Yeah, well, just get the dump truck and leave it at my front door." But this feeds so many people that need food. So if you're, you know, harvesting more than one deer and you're keeping one for yourself and you want to donate to others, that's okay. Do it. Go online to your local DNR website. Check it out. You will find out how to get that whole program up and going. Excuse me, a little frog in the throat. Don't forget, register your deer that you do shoot. But fishing-wise, my buddy Ken O'Malley sent me a little note. He said, "Chance, you could roll over. You don't need to get out early." He says, "Bluegill have been really good on a lot of smaller ponds. Action is doing very, very well. Crap, you're holding around some of the, the downfalls, trees and stuff like that, piers. The Whack'em and Stack'em baits are hot. 132nd. Ooh, babe. Got to tip them with a little bit of meat. I like to do that." And he says they're doing very, very well. Cold water species like pike are doing really well. And I agree. I mean, I'm hearing pike reports everywhere. From Lake Michigan, forest preserves, the Kankakee River, the Splains River. Very, very good. Water on the Chain of Lakes is very low because they dropped the level, folks. And please use caution if you can get in your boat, and don't go zipping around because you may hear that great sound. Bing, 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 bing. That's your lower unit when it hits something. So don't forget that. Pretty much, you know, I would definitely say plastics, crap for crappie, minnows, if you want, in the back channels around piers that may be still in there. Those are pretty good. I like the northern lakes on the chain for pike and bluegill. I'll go south for some of the other ones. I know they're getting some perch because Captain Tony sent me a couple of photos of them. So that's a good sign, too. It's not that pass up. Chicago River, I keep saying about this, fish those warm water discharges. When you do that, you're going to see your numbers grow up. And there's these wooden pilings near the bridges. Kind of try to flip that little jig and, you know, behind them and work it a little bit. Get that Whack'em and Stack'em behind that pylon. Tip it with a minnow or a waxy and just 1-2 jigs and hold on. You should be able to get something there. That's always a good thing. We've gotten Wisconsin. We got a report up at Beaver Dam that they're catching some walleyes from shore you know, mixed bag. It really was a mixed bag. My friend who lives up there, Joshua, he said, Chance, I did okay, but I should be doing better. He's okay. Jonah, another good buddy of mine who gives us fishing reports, said he was at Montrose Harbor. He caught one steelhead, and he says other people are using live baits and artificials. He only saw one brown trout that an angler caught, but he said that doesn't mean only one was caught. But he saw only one caught. Perch reports are pretty spotty in a number of different areas, so don't forget that. That could get a little bit strange. Snagging is good until the 31st of December. You know, not many people are doing it, so it's something for you to... I mean, you know, the big rush is almost over. I mean, you can try. I'm not saying not to go. Please go, 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 go. You're outdoors. But Lincoln Park Lagoon, Fullerton Avenue Bridge to the south end of the lagoon, Waukegan Harbor, Inner North Basin only, Winnetka Power Plant Discharge, and Jackson Harbor, Inner and Outer Harbors. Those are the spots that you want to go check out. Northwest Indiana, once again, we're on a perch thing. Not a whole lot, some. You're going to have to weed them out. You want to keep the keepers and throw the little guys back so they get bigger. But we're starting to see more, which is going to get better. Some of the boaters that I know that were in the Calumet said that they've picked up some perch around crawlies, which was good, Chance. But he said we had to throw a number of them back because they need the bigger boys and girls need to move in. Okay, that's all right. Michigan City, we're seeing some Lakers and whitefish. By the Lighthouse Pier. That's always a fun spot to check it out. Madison Lakes, it's been pretty quiet because everybody's deer hunting. a few boats were seen out there, so that must mean you got the lakes to yourself. Get out there and check it out. Even though a lot of people are, you know, all geared up and excited about Wisconsin deer hunting, Muskie was pretty good on the northern lakes. We're talking Vialis County, that hold that up along the far northern part of Wisconsin. Perch, sticking into those weeds, stick to those green weeds. This is so weird that we have wide open water in that far north. But, you know, no, they're not getting a lot of big fish, but they're getting some eaters. And that's all that counts when you talk about that. Matt, I know here, likes to fish northern pike, and they're using suckers. For pike and muskies, man, they're getting more northern pike. So Matt's going to leave the station here pretty quickly and go up fishing in northern Wisconsin. Whoa! Jeez, I didn't even get everything done yet. Well, we hear the flute, so that must mean we're coming to the end of the program. And I always like to leave you with a Native American proverb, and this one comes from my friend Apensui Majawat. He says, when we harvest the deer, or harvest a pheasant or a duck or a goose, or pick plants for us to take home and enjoy on the table, always remember, before you leave the field, to thank Mother Earth for the greatest gift she can give us. How very, very true. Please remember, we don't use the fish, I've got my tongue tied here. We borrow everything in the great outdoors from our children's children's children. We'll see you next week right here on Chauncey's Great Outdoors.